the wondrous in all gold and black. You better retreat, cause we're on the attack. The strength of the wolf is the strength of the pack. We're Wolverhampton, we're on our way back.
Well, hello everybody, welcome to episode... Oh, I love this. 333. It's three, and of course, it's the Ines Wolves Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan Judah. Delighted to be joined by Mr. Liam Keane. Liam, 333. Are you hopping?
Hopping?
Oh, come on.
Genuinely, I've got no idea what you're talking about.
111-222-333-444. People, honestly, the youth of today, they don't understand. They don't understand. Shep, cricket umpire.
Oh, mate, no. I don't like cricket.
Oh, come on, mate.
Not interested at all.
333, who would have thought it? I mean, there's not a chance. We might as well enjoy this because we're not making 444. That's for certain. Well, the amount of Wolves reporters I go through... There's every chance that you'll be gone by 444. So enjoy this. Enjoy all the threes.
I'll be honest, this is a much perkier start to the podcast than last week. You seem full of beans today.
Well,
what's up?
Look, the five stages of grief, Liam, and I was going through it. Denial, stage one. Anger, stage two. Bargaining, stage three. Depression, stage four. And acceptance, stage five. I was definitely at stage one last week of denial and a little bit of anger. I think you were at the bargaining stage. You were more developed than me psychologically.
More ways than one.
Psychologically, lad. and you think you're at the bargaining stage. I think you're at stage five now. I think you're at acceptance. I think we're moving on. I'm at bargaining. I could go into depression at any stage, but I'm in bargaining, so I'm moving along the grief bandwagon, five stages, I feel in better spirits. Still not over it, but I'm definitely moving on.
And it's a tough one to get over. But
it is.
In fact, we won't even mention it. Let's not even mention the C word. I've said that a few times talking about you.
Crikey! Oh, many people have.
Yeah, plenty of people.
In fact, there's one guy, I think I've mentioned it before, hates me when I'm doing interviews, and he's always away. He's always one of the away guys. I don't ever seen him at home before, so I don't know. But he always follows Wolves away from home. And the few times that I've seen him, he's like big burly guy, bright red, beetroot red face, and genuinely, like, I'm interviewing people or whatever, and he comes by. He's got to be held back. He's like, Judah, you effing smoggy. See you next Tuesday. And he's been held back by people, like two or three people. And the guys, his mates, are like, I don't know, mate. I don't know what he's done. But it's always fun to see my mate, away at a Brentford or a Newcastle or a Chelsea. So, yeah, good to see you, Rog.
Yeah, I do need to tell my dad to calm down with that crisis. I'm always trying to bring him down from the edge.
Be nice to my son. I've seen your WhatsApp messages.
Exactly. You want to see their messages, crikey.
job.
you know what? It's quite rare that you see people who don't like you or I.
Yeah.
Doing that in public.
There's a few of them, Keno.
No, there's a few of them, don't get me wrong. But it's not often you see it in public. It's normally hiding behind a screen, isn't it?
It is true. Yeah, so at least he's fronting up to it.
Although,
doesn't get that close, does he? Because he knows what the Judah left arm jab's like.
Mate, you are creating a rod for your own back here. Let's not go down that route. I was already going to go down the route of being slightly smarmy about the odd couple of people that don't like me on social media. But
I don't care, mate. Like, I blow them a kiss. If, you know, they're being douchebags at, you know, a distance, I just blow them a kiss or smile or wave. You know, that's what they hate the most, especially when you get, like, a bit of rage in the old car as well, and you're driving and you look across and someone's effing and jeffing, and, you know, they've got the window down and they're having a go and they're shaking the fist. What's the worst thing that you can really irritate them with? Just laugh. Just smile. They hate that. They don't know what to do with it. That's what I do. What's the point of getting worked up? I just smile and laugh.
I actually had a... that reminds me of a recent road rage incident.
The road rage.
Oh, it wasn't me, but it was another guy. It was a guy in a van.
Okay.
absolutely losing his mind.
Really? What did you do? Cut him up?
No. I was coming into Wolverhampton. It was only the other week, and well, I could admit this because it's allegedly. If there's any points,
oh,
here
we
looking.
Go. Allegedly, correct.
Allegedly,
add to those points. Westminster Police. Anyone listening?
I may have looked down to change a song.
Oh dear. Okay.
Allegedly, I was at the front of a roundabout queue at at some lights.
Yeah.
And the lights had gone and I hadn't looked up. And
oh yeah. Got a little happens beep. To everyone. Happens to everyone.
Got a little beep. Went forward. Fine. Whatever. No issue. Yeah. And then he pulls up alongside me I think it was the Birmingham Road going into Wolverhampton.
Yeah.
Just absolutely apoplectic with the age. I mean, like he's like window down. You got something you want to say? You got going mad at me. And I just laughed. And I got close to saying something, but I thought, you never know. Some people get their phones out these days. I don't want to be the Wolves journalist that gets captured on camera saying something derogatory.
You showed shook your phone at him and go, I'm just retweeting the poddy questions, mate. Give us a chance, lad.
And he went absolutely mental. And I just did exactly what you said there. Just kept laughing just sort of pointed at him and laughed. Mm. Maybe a couple of extra gestures along the way. And he went off at some speed, I must say. I mean, not a very happy man, but he was gone. And obviously, you've now reminded everyone with your picture for the potty questions of my jiu-jitsu ability. So I'm glad he didn't stop because, you know, it wouldn't have ended well.
Love that.
In fact,
that was when you had the white belt, right? That was beginner belt, right?
That was in my early days. Because actually, I was going to say there was someone who replied to the questions tweet saying, white belt. ? Tin pot.
Oh wow. But you're purple now, right? Is that
no,
right?
No, no, not no. yet. I'm not yet. I'm afraid purple is the next one up. I am a blue belt.
Glitter belt, are you?
Glitter belt, come on. It goes white belt,
yeah.
Blue belt,
blue,
purple belt,
okay,
brown belt, black belt. I am a blue belt, a one stripe blue belt, I must add.
And I think that coincided, if I'm not mistaken, with you paying your subscription for the next year. In advance, and then when you renew again, then you'll become purple. Is that how it works? Right?
Yeah. You made this joke privately to me about 2 days ago, and it didn't okay, land
we'll
then. Wait, I think it's going to land on the potty now.
We'll wait till you pay your direct debit for.
You know what?
You go up again.
I bit then as well. I bit then.
You did. It's so easy.
You got me. You absolute rat. You got me.
Talking about car trips, mate. I think we might have a little. We haven't done it for a while, but I think we've got a little car trip coming up. Maybe Burnley on Tuesday.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you owe me several trips, so...
Well, I was going to suggest that you were driving. You're going to drive, actually, to be honest.
I knew you would.
I've got an important meeting the next morning.
I knew you would.
I'll do your player ratings for you, don't worry. I think we have to eat beforehand because Burnley's brutal food-wise. Horrendous.
Yeah, I think it might be a little trip.
So the Forest, which is near me, close to me, have wing Tuesdays and Wednesdays now, pound a wing, but they are great quality, absolutely delicious. Five flavours, Kino. Someone went the other day, my personal trainer, but I mean, he's ripped, to be fair, so he can have whatever he wants. 18 wings, and these are massive wings. I reckon we could probably, well, you can eat. Oh, we can both eat. I don't think you'll need any more than 6 or 7. Mate, pound a wing. Great for expenses.
Oh, that's perfect. I mean, I reckon 25 quid.
Before it gets questioned.
Half full.
Keen or not keen on these five flavours that you're going to get to choose from?
Hit me.
Buffalo.
Keen.
Asian Zing.
I've got no idea what that is, but it sounds good, so I'll say keen.
Well, you went to pre-season, lad. barbecue.
Definitely keen.
Honey chili.
There's a running theme here. Keen.
Okay. Okay, so this is the controversial one, and it's very popular there. I think you need to have it. If you can have it, have one at the end. Salted caramel.
Ooh, I'm not sure about that. That doesn't it doesn't appeal to me. I'll say not keen, but I will definitely try one.
For me, you can't have that until the very end. It's almost like a dessert chicken, isn't it?
Dessert chicken. This sounds weird, though. I'm not sure about that. I definitely will have one, but I'll have that as my 26th wing after the 25 prior.
Love it, love it, love it. Can't wait, buzzing. Two little trips for us, two little away trips, one shorter than the other. We'll be coming on to Aston Villa a bit later on. But first of all, the big news. So Manchester United are set to sign Gary O'Neill, João Gomes and Pedro Neto, apparently, in the upcoming months, if it is to be believed, reports, etc. Pedro Neto and João Gomes is on their radar. And then this news that's come out about them looking at Mr. Gary O'Neill, potentially for a coaching job or part of the staff. It's all a little bit mysterious. It's all a little bit strange. Is there some truth? Is there no truth at all? Gary O'Neill, I mean, must be absolutely buzzing, to be honest, with just being mentioned, because it's only going to keep his stock high going into the summer regardless. But Liam, give us the latest on this development, please.
Yeah, so first of all, what the sort of report outlined was that United, obviously now under Sir Jim Ratcliffe and the Ineos group, they bought a 27% stake in the club, and they've got footballing control over footballing operations at the club. So they will be in charge of all the football side of things and how it all works going forward. And they're sort of putting a plan together as to how it's going to look going forward. The suggestions were that Erik ten Hag was at the very least sort of uncertain with his future. No commitments really either way on that. And that they were looking at creating a coaching staff underneath the head coach, whether that is ten Hag or not. That would be a sort of ongoing structure underneath a head coach. And the report suggested that Gary O'Neill was of interest. It doesn't specifically say, in fact, it makes a point of saying that it's unknown which role it is that they are interested in bringing him in for, whether that is the head coach role or a coaching role underneath Erik ten Hag or someone else. They've also been linked with every other manager under the sun recently. Mm-hmm. Gareth Southgate, obviously, De Zerbi at Brighton, Thomas Frank at Brentford. So, yeah, lots of names doing the rounds. The first thing I'll say is that we shouldn't be surprised to see Gary O'Neill be linked with these kind of jobs. He's 40 years old. He's English. He is an exciting, if not the most exciting, up-and-coming manager in the country at the moment, with just two jobs and two seasons, almost two full seasons, to his name. And a brilliant job.
He's higher in stock than, I mean, someone who's out of job at the moment. Because I genuinely do. Like, let's say these three English managers are the two loving managers at the moment in, and I know it's all about recency bias, but you look at Eddie Howe, you look at Graham Potter, and I honestly think that Gary O'Neill's probably ahead of those with his stock at this moment in time.
Recency bias plays a big part in that, absolutely. I'm not quite sure. I think Potter, there's an argument there because of, obviously, Chelsea didn't go to plan and he's been out of job for a little while now. But I think, regardless of a couple of the struggles Newcastle have had, Eddie Howe's very highly thought of in the game. And I think for good reason, to be honest. I think he's done a pretty good job pretty much everywhere he's been. And obviously particularly at Bournemouth with the struggles they had and where he brought them to. And then the same with Gary O'Neill. Look, he had one season at Bournemouth, unceremoniously sacked in the summer after what was a pretty remarkable job in keeping them in the league. And comes to Wolves on a shoestring, first of all, with the financial concerns, then VAR controversies, then loads of injuries, and every turn in the adversity of this season, him and his coaching staff and his side have been able to come through the other side of it. So, really impressive. So it shouldn't be no surprise that Gary O'Neill is being thrown around. We know how football works as well. There'll be agents involved. There'll be people putting other people's names out there. There'll be it's a very small world in football, particularly at the highest level, and people talk. So there shouldn't be any surprises, really, that names are doing the rounds. But of course, since this has come out, the sort of a big part of my job is to look into it, is to dig around, try and find some information. I have spoken to a couple of Manchester United sources who indicate to me quite strongly that they are planning to move ahead with Erik ten Hag next season. They've dismissed the report pretty forthrightly, and that would be music to Wolves' ears and those supporters that are listening now. It's a big thing for Wolves to keep hold of Gary, I think, going forward, because of the job he's done and what he is building. And a comment piece that I've put out looking at the situation with a potential move or potential interest from Manchester United, sums it up as this really for me. Now, Manchester United is a massive job for any manager. Doesn't matter where you are in your career, it's a huge opportunity to go to a club like that. Wolves is a massive club. It's a historic club. But unfortunately for Wolves and Wolves fans, Manchester United is one of the biggest clubs in the world. It's going to be a massive attraction for anyone to go there. But if he, and they were saying hypothetically here because of the reasons I've just given, but if he was to be approached by Manchester United for a coaching role, not a head coach role, for me, the opportunity to create something special at Wolves as head coach is more appealing than going to Manchester United as number two, number three, or number four behind a number one. And I would like to think moving forward with the fact that Wolves are looking at a new contract with Gary in the summer, that whether there's a bit more cash on the table because of what's happened over the last couple of days, which I'm sure he'll be pleased about if Wolves can keep hold of him and move forward. That would be one of the most important signs of the summer.
Yeah, I mean, look, as we said earlier on, Gary O'Neill is going to be absolutely buzzing hearing this, whether there's truth in it or not. But you're right in what you say, Liam. Like, Manchester United is a fantastic, huge pull. One of the biggest clubs, if not the biggest club in the world. And I know they're struggling at this moment in time, but, you know, with Radcliffe coming in and you think that maybe better times are ahead. We've said that before, haven't we? But if you're offered a coaching role, I think Steve McLaren's there at the moment, is it? Let's say first team coach, or, you know, but let's say you're offered a coaching role under a new setup under a Gareth Southgate, let's say, you know, and I think they will look at someone like that. I understand from Manchester United's point of view, and you've spoken to sources there, you know, they wouldn't admit, I wouldn't have thought, that they'd be making moves at this early or sounding people in. And you've got to be very careful with the way that you do that and approaches that are made. But it happens these days, and I can completely understand it. There's a lot of sounding out. Would you be interested in this? Would you be interested in that? It happens all the time in football. But if you're not a number one and you've got ambitions to be a number one in the Premier League and be a manager, for me, if you're a top six, you know, head coach, and you get a Wolverhampton Wanderers, is probably the perfect stepping stone after that to become a manager, because you couldn't be in a better situation. You've got a strong club, huge tradition, massive fan base, expectation, but not ridiculous expectation, money to spend, decent amount of money compared to a lot of other clubs. I know, you know, we've had issues this season, etc. But, you know, hopefully that will be easing in the next year, 2 years. And for me, the most important thing is you get to work with someone like Matt Hobbs, a sporting director who's fantastic. You know, you haven't got a director of football ahead of you who's just making all the decisions, and you've just got to manage. You know, you are very much integral in the process of the training ground, how things work, how things operate. You've got a say in transfers. You've got a say in the academy. You've got a say in who, you know, who plays, what players you want to get in the summer, what players you want to get in 2, 3, 4 windows time. It's very much the control that you get at a club like Wolves. You don't get in a lot of other football clubs in the Premier League, especially the ones in and around them, sometimes below and definitely above. So I think that it's, unless they offer him the manager position, which I don't think will happen, then it's a different story and a different conversation altogether. But from a first-team point of view, look, he might be offered more money. I'm sure he would do than maybe if he's making at Wolves as manager. But like you say, that might help his contract negotiations in the summer. But for me, it's almost difficult to say a step down because you're going to Manchester United, but it is in terms of where he wants to go with his career at such a young age, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I think the way I would sort of sum it up is that, hypothetically, again, he jumps at the opportunity to become a coach within a setup at Manchester United. For me, I would describe that as the quick route to a big gamble. It's a quick jump so early in his career to something that could be really damaging to his career. Now, like, you go the other way, and he's the kind of person that he's a former professional. Athletes of, you know, people who played at the highest level have characteristics within their personality that means that he will back himself wherever he goes to do a good job. And I think he's, you know, very gifted in what he does, and I think he will do a good job wherever he goes. But it is a big gamble taking a role like that at this stage in his career, when, as you just described there, he's got almost a perfect setup here at Wolves to create something potentially really special. And it'd be interesting as well, alongside that, the loyalty factor, because loyalty doesn't mean a lot in football, if you're being brutally honest. And to be honest, I don't expect Gary O'Neill to have an incredible amount of loyalty to Wolves. But he was trusted at a time when Wolves needed someone, and he was all out of sorts, really, out of a job, and probably not anywhere near a job at the time, or at least a job of this calibre, coming into a Premier League club and a big club in Wolves. And he has spoken quite quite aggressively, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but quite aggressively in the past about repaying Wolves and repaying the faith that was given to him. And it'd be interesting to see if and where that continues. It's a fickle game, football, because people will change and turn and move on quite quickly. But I am interested to see how Gary O'Neill reacts to that. And look, he will be asked about it in the press conference on Friday, absolutely. And his response to that will be really interesting for me.
And there's two responses. Sorry to cut you off, Lynn, but there are two responses here, aren't there? There's one where he will completely say, "I am 100% happy at Wolverhampton Wanderers. I don't envisage me moving anytime soon." They might even use this to their advantage and say, "I'm want to sign a new contract here. I'm not going anywhere." Or he could answer it in a more politically cute way, I guess, so to speak, and say, "I'm happy at Wolves. My next game is the most important thing. I'm not looking anywhere apart from Wolverhampton Wanderers and finishing as possibly as high as we can in the table and trying to get European football and bring it back to this great club. It's always flattering to be discussed, but my job, I haven't even considered it. I haven't thought, you know, you might say, I haven't even thought about it. This is my priority and my only priority." Something like that, that addresses it but doesn't address it. Then you might think, okay, well, you know, if you're not going to completely dismiss it and shut it down, then it could be an interesting summer. Do you think, Liam, let's say Wolves finish 10th, 11th, let's say they struggle a little bit, you know, they've still got missing Pedro Neto, and, you know, they don't crawl over the finish line, but let's say they finish 10th, 12th, 11th, something like that. Bit of a meh ending. They win a few games, they lose a few. It's uninspiring. Do you think that could change his philosophy and maybe his situation? Or do you think that he will make up his mind pretty quickly with what he wants to do going forward?
Yeah, I think he makes his mind up quite quickly, to be honest, because you've got a situation here at Wolves which is quite unique in the injuries they have. And if it does fizzle out a little bit, which is absolutely possible, and obviously we all hope it doesn't, then I think there's a lot of mitigating factors behind that. And I think it would be more a case of, right, what can I do with this club going forward, rather than this is where it ends on a negative. Now, obviously, as you say, if out of nowhere Liverpool or Man United or whoever offers the head coach role to Gary O'Neill, unfortunately for Wolves and Wolves fans, that becomes a difficult one to keep hold of Gary, because of the obvious allure of those two clubs. But I think Wolves are in a strong position. Look, the contract, he's on a 3-year contract last summer, will mean that Wolves are in a good position to either keep hold of him or get, you know, significant compensation for allowing him to move on. If he does stay and sign a new contract, that position strengthens even further. Wolves are in a good place with him, and you've got to remember as well that a lot of work is done in the background if and when Gary O'Neill does move on. And it's the same with any player. Matt Hobbs spoke about it recently to say that, look, we have to do our due diligence on head coaches as well as players, and we have, you know, several potential replacements lined up if and when something happens. And you never know what might happen. I mean, it's not just football, it's life as well. You look at sort of, you know, Tony Mowbray's situation down at Birmingham, and all of a sudden you've got to make a decision. Anything can happen with a player. The terrible situation with Raul Jimenez and his head injury. Fortunately, he came back and played. But in another life, he doesn't play again, football in general, let alone for Wolves. So there's lots of things that could happen, and Wolves have to be prepared for all eventualities, which is a tough ask. But I think the hierarchy and the structure they have at the moment, I think, allows us to have confidence that they will act in the proper manner moving forward, regardless of whether that includes Gary O'Neill or not.
Yeah, look, he's built a great rapport, hasn't he? Not just with the players, you can see how much they care about him, but also the fan base. You know, when he's coming on the pitch and celebrating wins, and thankfully he's been celebrating a lot of times on the pitch. You know, we haven't seen those levels of love since Nuno, really. So it takes a long time to turn that around, to turn that fan base around, losing five out of the first six games, and you know, for fans to kind of openly admit that they were wrong, and people singing Gary O'Neill's, you know, army. It's like, it's amazing, really. And like you say, that's what every manager wants and dreams of, to be doing that and leading your team out in the Premier League week in, week out. So, yeah, interesting one. For me, I'm pretty certain, gun to my head, that Gary O'Neill will be in charge of Wolverhampton Wanderers next season. Let's hope he is. Done a fantastic job. And look, at the same time, Liam, he'll want a summer where he can buy some of his own players and start moulding his squad that he wants, because he hasn't really had that chance yet, has he?
No, he hasn't. And it's interesting as well, because we do phrase it like that, but at the same time, it's very much a club structure where Wolves are at the moment, so they will bring players in that the club have scouted for a long time. It's not necessarily going to be Gary O'Neill's job to be looking at these players. At the same time, he will also have an input into who comes, and Wolves won't sign a player that he desperately doesn't want to be there as long as he's head coach. So it won't be a case of always signing his players, quote unquote, but it's about creating a squad that, working alongside the recruitment team that Gary O'Neill believes will push on next season and better the success they've had this year. And that's quite, I think, for any manager, let alone someone in Gary O'Neill who is in his second job in the second season ever as a head coach at just 40 years old. There's some players playing right now that are older than him and still playing. He's very young as a coach. And he, I think for anyone, but especially for him, it's a really exciting role to be in. And that for me is why having the setup he's got at Wolves in the position he's in is more appealing than being anything but the main man at one of those so-called top six clubs.
He'll be looking to mould this squad, won't he? Mould the squad. He'll definitely have players that he doesn't see having a future there. And it's, you know, up to the hierarchy to get those players out, to get some money for them and get some of the players in. Like you said, you're not going to have 100% say, but he's going to have a good say about, if he doesn't want a player to be coming into the club, then I'm pretty sure that they won't be coming in if it's from the, at least the senior point of view. So yeah, important summer ahead, and could be a fascinating summer ahead. Look, let's hope that it's only great news that Manchester United are in talks with him, or not in talks with him, but interested in him, apparently, in inverted commas, because that just means that Wolverhampton Wanderers are doing well, and they are doing very, very well in terms of the Premier League. Forget about Saturday again. I'm moving on from Cobb. I'm not mentioning them again. Hopefully Gary O'Neill is there pre-season as well, Liam. A little bit of development about pre-season since the last podcast as well.
Yes, and music to both of our ears, hopefully. Oh. There was one
Benidorm? Please say it's Benidorm. Please say it's Benidorm. Benidorm.
I thought it was brilliant. There was one tweet, apologies.
You didn't know where you were, mate, half the time. I don't know why.
Exactly, that's why I loved it. apologies to the person who sent it, because I can't remember. In fact, it will be on my liked tweet still, because I did like it, so I can give this person their credit. Here we go. Lynx Wolf replied to my story, saying, "You can actually sense you and Judas smiling as you tweet this," which was absolutely correct. So yeah, Wolves are weighing up a pretty major pre-season trip. So let's cast our minds back to the last two summers, which has been
let's
which is always good fun. So a couple years ago, Wolves were meant to go to America, the Ohio Cup, and it was pulled out from underneath their feet. It was cancelled. They then very quickly tried to arrange some friendlies over there and keep the America trip on, and because of the last minute nature of it, it all fell apart quite quickly, and Wolves ended up staying in Spain and Portugal instead. And then last summer they were meant to go to South Korea, and once again there was issues with the tour promoters, and that ended up being cancelled quite late on. And they were meant to play Roma, and Celtic over there, and instead went to Portugal for a week, and then over to Dublin, where, of course, they played Celtic at the Aviva Stadium. So two big trips there, which not just from a footballing point of view, but from a marketing, a commercial point of view, and raising the club's profile, were two massive opportunities that, very unfortunately for Wolves, got taken away from them. So they're now...
Forget about Wolves, unfortunately for me and you.
Well, you are spot on when you say that. I was very much looking forward to both those trips, which, of course, didn't materialise. But our prayers hopefully will be answered.
Please, third time lucky.
Summer.
Come on.
Third time lucky. So Wolves are weighing up going to Asia again, which will be the first time since 2019 when they went to China and won the Asia Cup, of course, against Man City on penalties.
Damn right they did, baby.
Weighing up an option between going to Asia and going to America. So one of these two options is it's one of a number of options they're looking at, but these two are probably the two most serious that they are considering. And the one in America, we do have a bit more detail on. The Asia one, at the moment, we don't have a lot of information. Mm-hmm. But the America one, or at least one of the options for America, because you can imagine a lot of these sort of tour companies throw a lot of options towards clubs. Yeah. There's a tournament taking place which West Ham, Newcastle and Everton have also been invited to join. As far as I'm aware, none of the clubs have signed up to it, or at least this time last week when the story came out, they hadn't signed up. But those clubs have also been invited, and it will take place in Jacksonville, Connecticut and Tampa Bay over a week. So obviously a great opportunity if Wolves decide to go that way, but they may go with one of the other options, which does include returning to Asia. So yeah, two big opportunities there for Wolves to, again, as I say, it's the not just the footballing side of things, but it's the commercial and the marketing side and raising the club's profile that they've been desperate to do these last two summers and just haven't come off. So hopefully we'll get some more confirmation soon and there'll be a big trip in the offing.
Have I got some contacts for you in America, Keno? My goodness.
I am getting quite excited.
Oh, my goodness, sir. But like I say, let's not count our chickens. Let's see how it happened. But you'd have thought that maybe they'd be keen to get this out, because I'm sure a lot of people, a lot of fans will want to travel as well. You know, they want to plan their summer holidays, and with the disappointments and obviously, you know, a bit of a farce, you've got to call it last summer, not due to their making, but, you know, going to South Korea and having to refund some people that already booked. I'm sure they'll want to get those details firmed up and out there sooner rather than later than what we had last season.
Yeah, I would imagine so, particularly because of how the last two summers have gone.
Yes.
I think the people behind the scenes, I don't envy those people trying to put these plans together, will be desperate to get it signed off, finalised, announced and, you know, get the ball rolling. You'd imagine as well that Wolves will most likely go on some sort of warm weather camp probably just before that as well. So there'll be a couple of moving parts for them to organise. You talk about fans, you're totally right. There'll be fans travelling, of course, from the UK over there.
And lots of expats as well out there.
Exactly. And then you've got a lot of, if it is America, for example, there's a lot of American Wolves fans that we have following us on Twitter, that follow the podcast, that are all out there. And
I know where you're going. Go on, get it out.
What? I don't even know where am I going?
Well, you said, you know, and if you know, because obviously I've been reporting at Wolves for a while, and we'll go back and forth. So if they do want to buy me a free drink, then you know, that's all good.
No, I actually wasn't even going to go there, but that offer does stand. I wasn't going to go there, but the offer stands. And then equally over in Asia, I mean, obviously we don't know exactly in Asia where in Asia at the moment. If they do choose to go back to or try to go back to South Korea, there's a big fan base brewing there because of Hwang Hee-chan, and obviously we've seen that at Molineux and when Wolves went to play Spurs, the amount of fans that came to London to watch both Son and Hwang in action, that's quite a big market as well. So yeah, there's a lot of opportunities for Wolves in that department, and I'm just excited to find out and hopefully bring the news fairly soon of where they're going.
Cass is the biggest selling beer in South Korea, by the way, so just putting that out there. And one that I do like on the East Coast. In fact, I think it's only available on the East Coast. Well, you've probably got it on the West Coast, but it'll cost you a little bit more. Yingling. Oh, my goodness. You'll love that, Keno. You'll love it.
I mean, to be honest, I'll take anything, mate. Well, that sounds a bit dodgy, actually. Maybe that's not...
Not rosy?
Let's rephrase that, actually.
Right, moving on. Right, Play of the Season came out today. We discussed it on the Keenan Judy show that was available on Monday. If you haven't watched it, then please do. I know there were a couple of issues with, I think, the third part of it for a few people in the UK. However, that is sorted out now. So, yes, I gave my 5-1 and we kind of had a bit of a discussion and you gave yours. And I think overall, Liam, we kind of agreed. So for people who didn't watch it, why? But we'll give you the kind of rundown now. I've put the written article out today as well, so you can read that on expressandstar.com/wolves. 5-1 for me. 5 was Ryan Aitnouri, who just edged out Nelson Semedo. The Nelson Semedo fan club are not happy, Liam. They're not happy. And I can understand it to a certain extent, because I think that it's very difficult, and he's had a very, very good season. But as has a lot of, has have a lot of the people in this list, hence why Wolves are doing very, very well. And dare I say it, if some of these players who even missed out on the top five did this last season, the season before, they'd probably be up there for player of the season outright. A lot of people want João Gomes in there. For me, doesn't happen either, Liam. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. I think he's been really good, but there's been maybe a little bit of inconsistency. And then with the five that I went for, which was obviously very similar to yours, mm-hmm. is, there's too many players in there that have got big stats and big impacts on Wolves winning games and going on long runs. And I think that supersedes Gomes for me.
Yeah, so fifth for me. And I wanted to put this on a poll just to make sure that I wasn't completely way off, actually, before I actually wrote the article. And actually, I think there were about 3,500 people voted. I said, you know, who's had the better season, Ryan or Nelson Semedo? And I think it was about 65-35 in favour of Ryan Aitnori. Again, maybe a bit of recency bias there as well because of how he finished that last game. But I think overall, for me, I had Ryan Aitnori in fifth spot. I hadn't Pedro Neto, who I know you had in second, Liam. I had him in fourth. Would probably be one or two for me, 100%. But if he misses the rest of the season, that's 5 months of the season that he will have missed. And he's been magnificent, superb, brilliant to watch. Bums off seats as well. The best player that Wolves have got. But at the same time, when you miss that length of time, I don't think I can warrant a top three spot for him. Just on that fact alone. But still, look, when he was on the pitch, an amazing season. So that's Pedro Neto, four. Three, I've gone to Hwang Hee-chang, which I think is probably the one that people are a little bit arguing against. Look, just look at his stats. Look at his stats. Well, you know, that first half of the season, absolutely insane, and probably would have been number one. I understand that it's not happened for him since the Asian Cup, and now he's injured, but I'm kind of factoring in that he's going to be back in, let's say, a month or so. So we'll have the chance to finish the season, hopefully strong. And that's why he's my number three highest goal scorer for Wolves. And the first time he's broken double figures since Raul Jimenez in the Premier League. In fact, there's only two strikers who have broken double figures in the Premier League for Wolves since the Premier League start. So in 1992. So Hwang Hee-chang, let's not forget about him. So he's third. Second is Mateus Cunha, who's just, you know, gone from strength to strength, moving from 9 to 10, God sent. We all knew that. We all knew he wasn't a 9, but still the extent and the level that he's played on and played towards in some of the games this season, and of course that Chelsea hat-trick before he got injured. Let's hope that he's back very, very soon. Hopefully, maybe, fingers crossed, we'll find out tomorrow. But on Saturday, we'll find out on Friday in the press conference, or maybe not, if Gary O'Neill's still coy on injuries. And number one, Mario Lemina's just, apart from that Coventry blip, unfortunately, has just been the most consistent player. Some incredible performances, everything out on the field, everything he gives to this side, the rapport he's got with the fans as well. But just a sensational display, a mature display, and someone who's led on and off the pitch. I know he's not captain, but just a leader in the way that he puts himself out there and, you know, consistently delivering 8, 9 out of 10 performances week in, week out, carrying this team at times to 3 points has been superb. Liam, any thoughts on that little rundown?
I think you said it pretty good. I had Neto, as you say, at second. I understand the argument with injuries. I just feel like he's Wolves' most influential catalyst, really, for how they play. And I think the performances he's put in, I thought, warranted that. But I was very close to dropping him to third and having Cunha at second. So, we're not too far away, actually, on that. I just ended up going with second in the end. As I said, Aitnori fifth, Hwang fourth, Cunha third, Neto second, and Lemina, I think, is the obvious choice and number one. Completely agree as well with Gomes and Semedo. We also said Kilman as well, just mm-hmm. missing out on the top five. Semedo.
Not to say these players haven't been. These players have been great.
Oh, they've been brilliant.
Semedo's had a fantastic season. This isn't a ding on them. Like Nelson Semedo's had a superb season, but he just hasn't made the top five at this moment in time, and it's all subjective, isn't it?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean,
some people want Pablo Sarabia in there as well.
Yeah, I've had quite a few replies having sort of Sarabia in second, third, fourth within the top five. Definitely doesn't make my top five. I think those three I've just mentioned, Gomes, Kilman, and Semedo, rise above Sarabia as well. So for me, he's somewhere between 8th and 10th, if I'm being completely brutally honest. I think a bit of recency bias coming in that he's played recently, but he was very poor for the first 2-3 months of the season and was out the side for a long time. And even recently hasn't been at his best, albeit definitely not his worst, which we have seen in the Wolf shirt. I think he's a very good player. I think he's improved a lot this season, but he's not anywhere near those five that I've mentioned, and Semedo, Gomez and Kilman, in my opinion, as well. So, but yeah, look, it's all subjective. Look, people have their own opinions, and yeah, we welcome it. It's part of the discussion.
Yeah, so it's okay to be wrong as well, right?
Exactly. And if you said Sarabia, you are wrong. Dude, are you still there?
I'm back. Sorry, I got excited. chucked my headphones out.
Just sat in silence for about 3-4 seconds then.
Oh, boom. That's great podcast material. Sorry, mate. Apologies. I was jumping up and these old headphones just came out of the socket. But I'm back. Right, let's move on. We've got a few things quick fire before we get on to some questions. You ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, a little word for the Wolves women as well. 10th Black Country win in a row. We were there on Friday night, and look, it wasn't I don't think it was the best performance we've ever seen from Wolves women since we've been there, but at the same time, got the job done, and brilliant effort from Dan McNamara and the girls.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. It was a bit of a scrappy game, wasn't it? Maybe not the best performance in the first half, maybe in particular. Not that Albion were any better, it was just a very scrappy, tight game. A lot of heavy tackles flying in. Will in midfield, I thought, was absolutely brilliant as well, really flying into tackles and making a nuisance of herself. And then, yeah, the breakthrough moment comes from sort of two stars of the team really. It was Tammy George with an excellent run forward into Amber Hughes with a ruthless finish like we know she normally does. So, and from that point, really, 1-0 up. Wolves were fairly comfortable. Beck Thomas had to make a few good saves in that second half, but otherwise, Tammy George getting the second in that second half, and it was a pretty comfortable 2-0 win. And to have won, well, three times against them this season in all competitions against Albion, but 10 times in a row winning the Black Country Derby is quite a remarkable feat. And hopefully they'll add to that number in the next few seasons.
I was sweating a little bit, Keno. I did have a little bet on the old Wolves women to beat West Brom, so I was quite happy when the second goal went in. Happy days.
Yeah, there was a couple of hairy moments, wasn't there, at 1-0 when there was a few saves being made. I did see you twitching a little bit, hoping that it wouldn't go in. Squeaky bum time.
Right, okay, so well done there. Internationals, look, I mean, I don't want to go over and over the internationals, but at the same time, just a couple of names to mention for me. First, well, I thought Nelson Semedo actually had a very good game for Portugal, but in the first game, João Gomes, of course, Brazil getting his debut cap. I mean, fantastic. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant story in it from the whole free João Gomes to coming here to what he's done, to what he's achieved. And everybody knew. They knew how good this guy was going to be. And I think, like I said in the last podcast, he's coming into his own. He's getting that back now. He's getting back to the levels that we saw him last season when he was so good, when he took that break out of the side. And, you know, really good display. João Gomes, Liam.
Yeah, I think he's a magnificent player, I really do. I think they're still...
Kind of wanted Brazil to win, to be honest, for him. Is that bad? It's only a friend. I don't care about friendlies.
That is bad. That's poor from you.
Is it?
I think there's still a ceiling that he hasn't reached yet as well, which is the most exciting thing with João Gomes. As I mentioned on here, I was there in person to see João Gomes at Wembley. It was freezing, by the way.
Was it?
Oh, my God. It was. I mean, we were high up as well, but it was cold.
It's not like you having a seat that you can't see the game.
No, I saw it pretty good. I've got good eyes. 2020. I mean,
It was not great.
The fact that he started is brilliant in itself. To then play 90 minutes, amazing. To then start again at the Bernabeu.
Started again!
Against Spain a couple of days later in a 3-3 draw. And he didn't play 90 there. He came off in that game. But it's important to remember that he started both those friendlies ahead of someone like Douglas Luiz,
yeah.
Who I think is one hell of a player.
For sure.
And João Gomes starting ahead of him is really quite big. I'm delighted for him. I think he's a really, really important player who I hope will only continue to get better. And if you're being brutally honest, probably net Wolves quite a high transfer fee at some point in the next couple of years. But let's hopefully have it not sooner rather than later. And we'll have him in the golden black for a little while yet.
And the performance or the strike of the break. I don't know if you've seen it, Keno.
Uh-huh.
Dexter Lembekisa for Jamaica. My God, man.
Some strike.
Oh.
Catches it.
I miss a bit of Lembekisa, by the way. How's he doing over there in Scotland?
Yeah, I think it's been going fairly well. I mean, I think he's...
Maybe it's a piece to look at, maybe a bit of Dexter.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of these things where having the experience, obviously going and playing in the Championship and then going over there, it's just about building different kinds of experiences for him with these loans, because each one of these clubs and loans will give you different challenges. Whether he comes back and challenges next season or not is a big ask. It's difficult to say. But I do think there's a genuinely good player in there who I think will go on and have a good career, whether that's with Wolves or not. And if it isn't with Wolves, these loans and Wolves bringing him through and giving him first-team opportunities will give him the opportunity to go and create a career. And whether it's with Wolves or not, I think it's a lovely thing to have a young man like that. I think is a really nice person as well as well as a good footballer. I interviewed him at the end of last season. He's really incredibly religious. He relies really heavily on his religion. He's a really quite a sweet young man, and I'm really pleased for him if he goes on and has a good career. And hopefully that is with Wolves, but we'll see how he gets on. And to be playing international football is not a bad thing at his age. It was one hell of a finish. Fair play to him.
Superb. Right, before we get onto some questiones, a word from my sponsors, kellentoastman.co.uk. Keno, you're going for some, what are you looking at after this? You've got to shoot soon. I mean, we've only got 20 minutes left.
We have, yes, sofas, bedside tables, all this kind of stuff to kit out the new gaff.
Oh, I love that. Have you got a Hoover yet?
We do. A lovely shark Hoover.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you what. These are special offers. And you love him because he's got eyes. He's got a nose. He's got a mouth. And boy, in your teenage years, did you have fun with this guy, Henry Hoover.
Wow.
What a man. What a man, Keno. But how much for a smiley face Henry Hoover? I'll give you a clue. RRP is 130.
Really?
Mm.
Crikey. RRP 130. Well, if it's RRP 130.
There's Hetty as well. Hetty's there.
We know
female version.
We know that Kellen Toasterman gives you a good deal, so it's going to be less than 130.
It's a few quid less.
But this man's got to make money as well.
He does.
So I'm going to throw out...
Go on.
110.
Less.
How does he make money? I don't understand.
Well, it's insane. He doesn't. He gives it away. He gives it away.
Five.
Less.
Oh, my word. How low do I go?
Well.
60.
Oh, baby, you've got it. £60.
Bang on.
£60 for Henri the Hoover. Get yourself across to kellentoastman.co.uk, your graded product specialist for all amazing, beautiful toasters, kettles, kitchen sets, microwaves, cookware, large appliances, mixers and food process, kitchen, bids, air care, laundry, hair price, mobility, cooling, catering, floor care and heating, baby. Let's go to some questions from the beautiful, gorgeous people. You ready?
I'm ready.
Wolfpack says, have you seen that Yuri Alberto has 5 goals in 7 appearances? Remember, he was linked with Wolves and was about to come before his agent moved the goalposts, if you remember, peeps. Agent probably wanted, they reckon, in the region of an extra 700k. Do you think if Matt Hobbs could go back in time, they would have paid the extra fee?
No. There you go. Wolves are run very differently these days. It's in previous regimes, it would have been a desperate punt, and whatever it costs, bring him in. Wolves were at a very specific position with their finances in January. They weren't going to take any risks, and they were trying to do that deal at something that they could afford. It proved that extra bit of greed was too much, and Wolves weren't going to do it. Simple as that. They pulled out. So no, I don't think in hindsight they would go back and change that decision. It's just not. It just wasn't feasible for them.
Let's have a look. What else? Jukebox Hike says, are Wolves at risk of becoming a staging post for rising talent, where young players have a chance to prove themselves in the Premier League before being snapped up by richer clubs? Is this inevitable for a club like Wolves, or even desirable and integral to their business model?
Well, I think the latter. It's, you say it's sort of danger is the way you phrase the question, but there's not necessarily any danger in becoming as successful as Brighton have been able to become in the last couple of years by doing that very same model. If Wolves are able to bring important players in, impressive young players in, develop very impressive Premier League players that go on and are sold for big money, and then they reinvest in the squad and they go again. Yes, it's not always easy to do, but for where Wolves are at and the kind of revenue they bring in to get closer to how these top teams perform on the pitch, they're going to have to go down that route. Now, until they can develop ways of bringing more revenue in and thus giving themselves a bigger platform to build from, then that is the most realistic option. So I don't think it's a danger. I think it's a realistic and desirable business model that they have to get right, because it's, and that's not easy to do. But if they do, and I think João Gomes is a great example of a player that could be in that sort of bracket, that that success there is there. There's a pathway to follow of how clubs have been able to do it.
Who do you think our current bogey team, says Gareth Hicks?
Ooh. Current bogey team. That is, I mean, it is going back a few years now, but Huddersfield springs to mind.
Mm.
Under Nuno, they won 3 games all season that year, didn't they? And two of them were against Wolves, which was brilliant. can we just name any team in the bottom six, basically, that yeah, that yeah, Wolves have, so. For the vast majority have struggled against?
Well, maybe a couple of teams in the Championship now.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, if we're being honest, West Brom have been a bogey team up until recently. So,
I was going to say Watford and Cov, to be honest, but I didn't want to talk about them.
Well, yeah, we don't talk about that.
Jarnal, do you think Nathan Fraser will look better with Mateus Cunha around him? Because I feel he looked poor last game. Because the support was awful, he says.
Yeah, well, he did struggle absolutely against Coventry. The support was awful, but equally, I think he looked very leggy. Maybe the occasion, I don't know. It's difficult to say, but he struggled big time. To be honest, I think most players in the Premier League would look better with Mateus Cunha alongside you. I think he's that good a player. He's the glue that holds this Wolves team together in many ways, and particularly that specific position that he's been playing on that left side. So, yeah, I think Nathan Fraser would look better. And considering he's an out-and-out number nine, having him playing, even if he is struggling a little bit at the time, to have Cunha back in his sort of natural position on that left side where Gary Neil was getting the best out of him means hopefully Wolves are going to only improve.
Oh, Ronan Gibbons with the classic question. I haven't seen this. If Cunha is still unfit, could you see Chiwomi playing more minutes in the Liam Keane derby on Saturday?
I knew you'd ask this. I did see it.
I've just seen it. Thought he looked decent when he came on last week. Yeah, of course. I forgot. Liam Keane derby. It's a win-win for you regardless, right?
You are such a moron.
I'm not the one who brought it up.
Ronan Gibbons, big fan of the poddy. He's always constantly tweeting, all very positive. But he loves to get involved in the Villa banter. So I'm not going to threaten you, Ronan, but you have seen the picture of me at jiu-jitsu. You know what can happen. Pretty much everyone that listens to this is going to know this by now. But let's quickly go back to a little trip down memory lane. This all began, mm-hmm. bearing in mind I've grown up as a Wolves fan. This all began because of a YouTube comment from a random account that was just constantly slagging me off every week, mm-hmm. and then commented once, which you picked up on and found very funny, and I've never let go since, that he said, my brother went to school with Liam. He's been a Villa fan from the very beginning or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Which I found hilarious. It's maybe slightly less hilarious now because there is a very small section of the Wolves fan base that actually think that's real and true, which is quite sad. It isn't true. Ronan's having you all on, but he's a good lad.
I mean, you wore a maroon cap for 18 months in this job.
I've still got that hat. It's just a nice hat.
We haven't brought it out yet, though.
No, I didn't wear it that long ago.
You retired it?
It wasn't that long ago I wore it. I did wear it again fairly recently. The winter just gone, I did wear it. But
you can wear it on Saturday?
Definitely not. That's the last place I'm going to wear it. To answer Ronan's question as well, I think Troy will definitely get minutes the next couple of weeks with players still coming back, but I can't see him being jumping ahead of Fraser, for example, in the pecking order. I think Fraser is there and it's his spot for the time being. But he's an exciting young player as well, so we'll see how he gets on.
Chris Fisher says, if Wolves come to Florida this summer, what number will be higher? Amount of tropical frozen beverages consumed or Liam Keane's level of sunblock? Now, this is a very good question because both will be very high.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. Both will be very high. My delicate...
Your tolerance isn't the best, is it, in the sun?
No, my delicate Irish skin means that I do burn quite quickly. So I've been fortunate that I've never actually burned on a pre-season that we've been on.
Into the shade in Portugal. Very
exactly,
quickly.
Because I have to give myself... I have to lather myself in sun cream, and then I do very regularly go into the shade. Because it's not just the fact that I burn. I struggle in the heat. I can't handle it.
Yeah.
I don't dislike it, because I get on okay with it. But after like half an hour in the heat, I'm like, I need 15 minutes in the shade here, because I'm struggling. But that's going to be high. But at the same time... There might be a few beverages as well.
Oof.
Just a couple.
Hello, baby. And a lot of people commenting on your feet, Kino. Kevin Sweeney, Hobbit feet.
I did see that.
Someone else saying...
To be fair,
are they feet or flippers?
They're big feet. And you know, are they? And you know what they say, mate.
Big feet, small acorn.
Exactly.
All right. It's Wolves against Aston Villa. It's 5:30 kickoff Saturday night. Gonna be feisty, gonna be tasty. I don't know where we go here, Liam. Well, first of all, look, Wolves are 3 points away from West Ham in seventh, and I've got a game in hand in West Ham. For me, if they can go to Aston Villa and get a point, I think that is a fabulous, fabulous result. Of course, Aston Villa go with Champions League football themselves. You know, you talked about Douglas Luiz, they'll be kind of well rested, has been integral to them this season. Ollie Watkins as well played that first game, but then was on the bench, of course, wasn't he? And I think came on for the last 15 or 20 against Belgium, but no goals to him. He'll be looking to prove a point with the Euros in the summer. So it's going to be a very difficult, difficult game. And I think a lot will depend on the team news that Gary Neal gives with Mateus Cunha. Will he be back in the squad? If so, we've debated about this. Liam, very surprised if he is in the squad, if he starts. So you've got to think if he doesn't, Craig Dawson's another one who may or may not be in that team. But overall, you're looking at the majority of the squad that was available for the Coventry game playing in this. And we all know what's happening, it's Coventry at home. And then you go into Aston Villa away. So it could be a huge task here, depending on the players that are available to Gary O'Neill.
Yeah. Luckily, we'll find out a little bit more in the press conference when it comes to injuries on Friday. But Cunha, obviously been back in training. It's always been aimed that he would make this game when they realised that he was ahead of schedule in his recovery from the hamstring injury. A fairly significant hamstring injury, you'll remember. So it'll be about 7 weeks by the time he comes back, I believe, if he does make the squad for Villa. And that'll be a massive boost for the supporters and the squad. I'll be absolutely gobsmacked if he makes the starting 11. Completely agree with you on that one. But to have him back round, it would be massive. Craig Dawson was very much 50-50 going into Fulham and Coventry, so it'd be interesting to see if he makes it in time with a groin complaint. And then after that, we're probably about that. I mean, Bellegarde was very much left up in the air, but I'm fairly certain that it will be the week after from people I'd spoken to, but we'll obviously wait and see on that. And then we're absolutely certain on Neto and Hwang with where they're at. Hwang would be sort of mid-April and Neto potentially not at all. So, you by and large are going to be the exact same squad and potentially the exact same 11 that played against Coventry. And then the big question mark, which we both sort of been discussing between ourselves this week as well, is how do Wolves fix the left-wing conundrum?
Mm-hmm.
We spoke about it a little bit earlier as well, I think Lamine had a good game against Coventry, that probably is the decision because of how Coventry went and how well Aitnori did once he did move further forward. For me, and I said this before the Coventry game as well, you have to have Aitnori further forward in this game, I think. You have Lamina in the middle with Gomez, same system and formation, Aitnori further forward, and probably Bueno behind him. He did come on and score. I know he also gave, he was at fault for the equaliser against Coventry, but he probably deserves an opportunity. So I think Bueno probably goes in as well. If it isn't that, and it's either Lamina out there or it's a midfield three with Lamina more central still with Doyle and Gomez and probably Sarabia more central alongside Fraser, which is definitely possible as well. That is probably more of a solid, consolidate, defend what you've got kind of system. But I think giving you the best opportunity of attacking and winning the game, it would be for me playing Aitnori further forward, and it would be fascinating to see which direction Gary Neil goes in.
Yeah, look, it's definitely not a free hit, but at the same time, it's stupid to think that they've got a better chance of beating Aston Villa than they have Burnley on Tuesday night. So I wonder if he's got one eye on that, Gary O'Neill, and I know he won't say that, but he's got two ways to go, hasn't he? Like you say, he plays that front three and brings Ryan Aitnori and pushes him up and maybe has Bueno on that left-hand side. Just talking and understanding what you were saying there, Liam, I wonder if the temptation, if Mateus Cunha is available and on the bench, which, by the way, in itself is a huge lift for Wolves to get that kind of calibre of player back. Thank God, with these five forwards missing, that we get Mateus Cunha hopefully back very, very soon. Let's say Mateus Cunha's on the bench, Liam, okay? Could you see a scenario where Gary Neil does play that five with Aitnori as a left wing back, plays the three in midfield with Tommy Doyle coming in and playing Pablo Sarabia and Nathan Fraser and just keeping it tight for 60 minutes, trying to box them in, frustrate them? Goodness me, if they go a goal up, then perfect. But try and just keep it close so that you can bring Mateus Cunha on for half an hour in that game and see what you can do. With the chance and the temptation of potentially giving him maybe 30 minutes here and maybe 60 minutes at Burnley on the Tuesday night.
I can definitely see that being a possibility. You've also got to bear in mind that Gary Neil has been burnt by Pedro Neto having a tight hamstring and coming off at half-time against Newcastle, starting against Fulham and then getting injured and now potentially missing the rest of the season. I think that will weigh quite heavily on his mind as well. And he sort of admitted after the Fulham game that even though he took the medical advice, in his sort of professional experience of playing the game, he maybe would have made a different decision in hindsight. So with that in mind, I would expect him to be quite cautious with Cunha. Now, we still hope that he'll make the squad against Villa, but does that mean half an hour? Maybe that is too long for where he's at. But your point still stands, to be honest, even if it is that, because Wolves have got the capability of keeping it tight and playing out a difficult tactical game and making it horrible for Villa to play in. And what they're going to need, alongside all the tactics and the personnel that line up in that starting 11, is they're going to need a lot of the grit, the heart, the determination that they showed against Sheffield United, that they showed against Brighton to go and win those two games. And if they can do that again, Derby games offer up unique opportunities where quite often form goes out the window and there's a chance for a team to cause an upset, if that's what you could call it. I think, as you say, it's definitely not a free hit by any means. Wolves are more than capable of beating Villa, and they have done several times in recent history. But obviously, with where the clubs are at the moment, Villa are up there and doing well, and it's a tough place to go. And you've got to sort of approach the game with the same respect of, you know, this is a tough place to play and a tough result to get, while also knowing at the same time that you can take the game to them in a slightly different way, not necessarily a we're going to boss possession and control the game, but if you can make it difficult, horrible for them, and get a little bit nasty in there, some hard tackles going in, get the fans riled up for it, that away end will be bouncing as it always is, then that gives Wolves, I think, the best chance of getting a good result out of the game.
Yeah, look, Villa have got a couple of issues as well. Matty Cash is out for the game. He's injured. John McGinn is suspended for this game after his red card against Spurs. So, you know, there's chances there, aren't there, for Wolves? And look, they're going to have to play a damn sight better than they did 2 weeks ago. That's for certain. That was a kick up the backside they needed. And let's see if there's a reaction there. Gary Neil won't have had a lot of time to work with these players. because of they've had the week off and then international break and players coming back. So it could be a case of getting everyone back today, tomorrow at Compton and seeing how everybody else is fitness-wise before he picks a side. But there'll be a lot of tactical nous behind it, and hopefully, like you say, they can go there and get a result. And if they can, Liam, if they can get a result and then go to Burnley on the Tuesday, that sets up for a very exciting end to the season in terms of potential European qualification. So let's hope that they can do the business, and I'm sure the Wolves fans will be in great spirits and great voice for an evening kickoff on Saturday, maybe with a couple of slush puppies inside of them before the game. Right, so we'll do predictions. So what we're giving away, Bebby, you choose.
Oh, it's always tough.
I've sent prizes out to Bristol. I won't say who I sent it to, but this gentleman I gave an away shirt to, and he sent me an email back with a picture of him wearing the shirt, which is great, which is amazing. I mean, we love that. We love people celebrating their prizes. Unfortunately, Liam, he sent it with the away shirt and nothing underneath.
I'm not sure how to feel about that.
It's I was just pleased that he was happy, but obviously not that happy. Otherwise, that would be a complete
could
difference.
Could you see he was happy? Could you? Was it obvious?
I've sent some stuff to America. I need to get address one other person as well, I think. So so we need to get one more, I think. But they won a competition recently. But yeah, I've sent a load of stuff this week. So people are winning. So what are we giving away?
I'm going to say, can we make it a training top of some sort? Some sort of jacket or...
Yeah, top. Do you want a jacket or do you want a sleeveless top? Do you want going into the summer now, or it's up to you? What do you want?
Should we do both?
No. Wow. Okay, training jacket and a training top.
Yes.
/ vest. How's that?
Perfect.
Okay, perfect. I'll go first then. The floor is yours. And we'll go with your predictions. So I'm going to say... Wolverhampton Wanderers. Okay, Aston Villa 2. Wolverhampton Wanderers 2. Desmond.
Oh my word.
God. Chandler Bing.
Well.
Come on.
I don't like doing this.
Oh.
But sometimes great minds think alike.
Ah, you know it, babes. You know it. You know it makes sense.
And I really want to get a Desmond correct.
Oh, come on.
And it's going to be a 2-2.
2-2. 2-2. Shall I ask the Magic 8-Ball to finish the show off?
Please do.
Shall I say result? I say result because we're both not predicting a win. So, Magic 8-Ball. This is good because obviously people's not watching. Will Wolves get a result? Aston Villa on Saturday evening. Magic 8-Ball, give me the answer. Can you hear that?
That's a dodgy noise, that.
Is it?
Dodgy.
I'm going to keep on doing it. What's it say? Oh, no. Very doubtful.
Oh, buzzing.
What a way to finish on the podcast. Dear. Me and Kino, we'll see you on Saturday night at Villa Park for me from the Boy Wonder. Take care. Have a great weekend. Fingers crossed 3 points on Saturday. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye. Because we're on the attack. The strength of the wolf is the strength of the pack. We're Wolverhampton, we're on our way back.